Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. It is an honor to be here with all of you. I'm here in the sanctuary, and we are delighted to have those of you chiming in from wherever you are at home, joining us too online. Thank you for being with us for worship. I want to take a moment to express my gratitude to y'all, Second Baptist Church, for just a moment. In the month of November, we have been doing a number of things. Even in the midst of all of the social distancing and safe practicing, you guys are finding ways to be a light into our community and to this city. We are doing a warmth drive for St. Benedict's, and just this past Thursday, when I went to go serve, there were several members of the church there preparing meals for all of the guests, and I was able to bring this huge box of coats that have already come in just in the first week of November, and they were blown away by the generosity of the people in this church, and it was an honor. And then yesterday, our youth, some of our students, and some of our members of Second Baptist Church met out at the Habitat for Humanity Blitz, and they were cleaning up the yards and picking up bricks and emptying trash, and then they were hanging drywall, y'all. We had youth on shoulders of other youth screwing in screws into the wall, and it was beautiful and amazing, and I learned how to cut drywall, thanks to Larry Lee and Dusky, and it was really an amazing event. And just today, I know many of you are involved in the Haircuts and Hope Thanksgiving meal that's going on downtown here in just a little bit. Johnny Lynch organized that. And thank you so much to those of you who are smoking turkeys and providing side dishes and helping coordinate all of that. Gosh, it's just amazing through all of this time how you guys are giving back and showing the love for others in our community. And I'm so grateful. And so thank you very much. I hope that something today that is said, music, words from Jake, something you hear, someone you speak to, is an extra blessing to you all that you can take home with you throughout the week. Will you still yourselves with me and take a moment and let's prepare ourselves for worship? May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Listen, my people, to my teaching. Tilt your ears toward the words of my mouth.
We won't hide them from their descendants. We'll tell them, next generation, all about the praise due to the Lord and his strength, the wondrous works God has done.
He established a law for Jacob and set up instruction for Israel, ordering our ancestors to teach them to their children.
This is so that the next generation and children not yet born will know these things, and so they will raise up and tell their children.
To put their hope in God, never forgetting God's deeds, but keeping God's commandments.
Children hear the mighty deeds which God performed of old, which in our younger years we saw, and which our fathers told. pray with me. Almighty God, we pray for your blessing on the 2B family this morning. May the faithful find redemption and the careless be awakened. May the doubting find faith and the anxious be encouraged. May the tempted find help and may the sorrowful find comfort. May the weary find rest and the strong be renewed. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts, O Lord, by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Today's first scripture reading comes from Hebrew, Joshua 24, 1a. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. This is one of our sacred stories. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Mason. Brothers and sisters, friends, good news, bad news. You're going to have four sermons today. You're welcome. I'm sorry. Four sermons. And my hope is that at the end of this time of worship, you will all be chanting, four more sermons. Four more sermons. So practice between now and then. I want to begin with the kids' message, and this one doesn't count as a fifth sermon, so we'll still go with four. So children, I'd like to invite you, if you're at home, gather around, and we want to ask some questions of you, kiddo. So you're going to help us give this first part of the sermon, okay? Here's the first question. Can you experience God? Is God in this place? Yeah, I think so too. I heard that amen from the back. Let the record show that's a yes. Obu finds God in this place. Eva finds God in this place. And if they can find God here, I think you can find God here. Is God in this place? All right. This is the library at our neighborhood school here, Whiteside Elementary. Do you find God in the library? Is God with you in the library? I think so. Is God with you? Get ready. On the soccer field? Can a brother get an amen? Yes, God is with you when you're out having fun and you're playing, and particularly when you're playing soccer, but other sports too. God is with you when you're doing those things. Is God with you when it's Christmas time? Your parents beg to differ. Yeah, God is with you when you're saying hi to Santa and when you're getting your list ready. God is with you in this really special, beautiful holiday time of year. Is God with you when you see a beautiful West Texas sunset, yeah, God is with you anytime you're in nature, anytime you're alive. God is with you. I wonder if you would just repeat after me, kiddos. Wherever I go, God is with me. Very good. Adults, why don't you try that with us one time? Wherever I go, God is with me. That's right. If those of you who'd like to go to preschool praise, I think Miss Donna and Pastor Cheryl, you can go with them. Wherever we go, God is with us. Yeah, I mean, this gives us hope. This is for which we breathe and we live. And it seems, at least in part, in our scriptures today, the scripture says, wherever we go, God is in Shechem. That's a little different. Wherever we go, the scriptures say, it seems that as though God is in Shechem. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the official Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, is in Cleveland, Ohio. The Mistake on the Lake. Have you been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Yeah. In my professional musical opinion, it is meh. It's meh. I mean, who hears Cleveland and thinks rock and roll? Rather, some decades ago, a temporary pop-up expose dedicated to the sound of distortion was erected tent style just there at the base of the Space Needle in Seattle, Washington. It was known as the Experience Music Project. And this temporary art expose grew into one of the largest museums on the West Coast. It now houses an incredible Chihuly art glass display. It's got the Pop Culture Hall of Fame connected to the side of it. And when you are here at the Experience Music Project, there at the base of the Space Needle, there is a hum. There is a buzz. There is potential sort of just there in the air. Maybe you've been to New Orleans and you've heard real jazz. Right? Maybe you've been to Nashville and you've heard real Americana. There are these spaces, there are these places in our lives that have a hum, that have a buzz, that have an umph to it. And that's what Shechem has. That's right. Shechem, throughout our Hebrew scriptures, particularly in the early days, is a place of incredible importance. It is surrounded on the north by Mount Ebal and on the south by Mount Gerizim. This is where Jacob lived. This is where Abraham received the promise of God. This is where Isaac was saved on the side of that mountain. This is where Jacob's well was. This is where Joshua won that first battle of Ai. Not the battle with the things on the face, but a real battle with Ai. This is a place abuzz. This is a place in which the Hebrew people, the Israelite nation, always looked for something with umph, something with spiritual meat to it. This is a sacred and holy spot for the Hebrew people. And it is hundreds of years later that David decides to build his palace with his slaves in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem? David's like, yeah, you know, Kansas City is more centrally located. You know, there's lots of highways and there's stuff there. Nothing against Kansas City, but it's not at the base of the Space Needle. And so then David's son, Solomon, with his slaves, build the temple to the Lord there in Jerusalem. And this high moment of the Hebrew people only lasts less than a generation as David's family spirals out of control and the kingdom, once united for a few years, falls apart. And it is then that the 10 tribes of Israel, the northern tribes, all regathered here in Shechem for renewal, to relate to one another, to establish the northern kingdom. Shechem in the ancient Hebrew language probably means the word saddle. And I'll be honest with you, I've never really worked a day in my life. I've never really been in a saddle. Okay, but the geography, the profile just of the geography suggests that this is a place where one can sit. Shechem. It's a saddle. This is a place on either side where one can listen to the mountains. Shechem, a saddle. This is a place often in the scriptures, particularly here, as Joshua has called the people together. They've been delivered out of Egypt. They're in the process of settling into the land. Things begin to go awry, and Joshua calls the people here to Shechem, to that place in which he had experienced victory already. And he said, come and let us sit here. Let us listen to the mountains, and let us see what is next. Return to Shechem. There are these incredible places in our lives in which we can return to listen. To listen to what the mountains say, to sit, to rest, and to see that which is coming next. Where are the places in your life? Where are the places in your world and in your story in which you can return? Where are the places in which you can be sure that God will show up and that you can listen, listen to that which is big and see that which is next? I think the church is a Shechem. The church, the church is a saddle. This is a place in which we can come and we can sit. This is a place in which we can come and listen to that which is big. This is a place in which we can see that which might be coming next. And I would encourage you, I would encourage those of you listening to foster a relationship, to join in with the spiritual community before your life is a mess. Yeah, we all have these seasons of difficulty, don't we? And God bless this mess, maybe one of the most important prayers in our lectionary. However, it is when our lives are in chaos, it can be difficult to establish relationship. It's when our lives are in difficulty, it can be difficult to truly connect with a place. And this is why it's important, I believe, to be connected to the community of faith before your life is a mess. This is why when the storm comes, you have that place to return. You have that place to return. Second, I think that these Shechems in our lives is a reminder that sometimes God does not call us to the place that has been authorized. Jerusalem is the certified center of the Hebrew people, and yet God calls the people to Shechem. So often in our lives, God calls us not to the place that is certified, that is center, that makes sense. Maybe God is calling you to a Shechem, a place that is unsung and unexpected through the ages. Will you sit? Will you listen to that which is big? Will you, by God's grace, see, glimpse that which might be next?
Jesus calls us for the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian,
today's second Hebrew scripture comes from Joshua 24:14. Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. This is one of our sacred stories. Thanks be to God.
Almost halfway done. You can do this. Four more sermons. Imagine with me, if you can, an event, a presentation, an important happening in which a lot of people tend to come on the weekend. Now, many come on Sundays, but it seems that of late a lot like to go on Saturdays too. Imagine such a gathering in which people tend to put on special clothes. Imagine such an event in which people might say special words or even sing special songs. Imagine an event, a presentation, a gathering by which some would come awfully early to study and for fellowship. Others might come awfully early to ensure that they are in the exact same seat they were in last week and the 10 years before that. Imagine a gathering by which some don't even ever find a seat. They're just busy about the whole presentation. Some come every single week, come hell or high water, amen. And some come maybe once, just when they can. Imagine an event, a gathering by which some give a great deal of money to and others give none. Imagine such a sacred event with such sacred people and such sacred happenings that on occasion you're led to just experience eternal bliss, and often on others you're led to experience complete tear. Imagine an occasion, a setting, an experience with such sacred activities and such sacred people that just every now and then, not all the time, but just every now and then, maybe even once in a lifetime if you're lucky, imagine such a setting by which the people would come forward at the end of the presentation. The people will come forward to take the goalposts down, to cut down the nets. What kind of event, what kind of gathering were you thinking of? There tends to be this incredible overlap with our liturgy, with our sacred practices, and any number of other forces at work in our world. And the Hebrew scriptures, particularly the early Hebrew scriptures, never ever deny the existence of other powers, of other stories, of other forces, or other traditions. Our Hebrew scriptures are not monotheistic. Our Hebrew scriptures often acknowledge the powers, the forces, and the stories that all vie for our attention, our adulation, and our affinity. The Hebrew scriptures recognize that such forces exist in Egypt and in the new land and here.
Oh,
third Hebrew scripture comes from Joshua 24, 15b through 18. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, also we will serve the Lord, for he is our God. This is one of our sacred stories. Thanks be to God."
The scriptures don't deny the existence of these other forces, these other stories, these other powers in our world. And likely, I think one of the reasons why is because this is a moment in history in which humanity is extremely tribal. It's extremely tribal. Imagine with me a point in history in which certain types of people prefer to group together with other certain types of people who are a lot like them. Imagine with me a moment in history in which certain types of people like to be around and spend their time and invest their emotional energy into other certain types of people who are a lot like them. Imagine with me a moment in history in which certain types of people who all ascribe a certain type of authority to a certain type of person like to spend a lot of their time together. Is it hard to imagine such a time? Another reason why possibly I think that the Hebrew Scriptures do not deny the existence of these other forces, these other powers, these other traditions, these other gods, is because I think that God welcomes all competition. Yeah. Now, there once was a beautiful, wonderful, kind, honest, all the right words, young woman named Allison Wynn. And she was available. And there was a guy named Jake, who goes by none of those descriptors, who was also available. And so this Jake began to pursue this wonderful, kind, beautiful, honest, faithful, available woman named Allison Wynn. And as fate would have it, during this time of wooing, during this time of prenuptial, during this time of chase and cat and mouse, whatever, there was one Jake who was tall and dark-headed and who liked to wear jeans with holes in them, who was pursuing this young woman named Allison. And wouldn't you know, there was another young man named Jake who was tall and dark-headed and liked to wear jeans with holes in them and liked music a whole lot, who was also pursuing that young, beautiful, kind, honest woman named Allison Wynn. There were two Jakes. And when speaking to Allison about the other Jake, I told her, "Listen, let the best Jake win." And here we are. Let the best Jake win. I think God says, I welcome all competition. We do not deny, God does not deny the existence of these other powers, these other traditions, these other gods, these other stories. The scriptures say, choose today who you will serve and remember the one who has saved you. Yeah. Speaking of American football, in a previous church, in a previous state, one of our best volunteers was a very bright and very large young man who had gone to college at Texas A&M University. Please know, whooping, this is a place of sacred worship. And at the end of his career playing offensive line for said university that won't be mentioned again, who did that? At the end of this illustrious collegiate career, this young man was lucky enough to receive a contract to go play for a professional football team. He received his dream, his goal, the one of the greatest gifts in life he could have ever accomplished. And he was given the opportunity to be paid to play a game for 3 years. By the time I met him, he was 75 pounds lighter, and he was leading an after-school program at a local elementary school. And he told me, I received a contract for 3 years to play in the NFL, and 3 months later, I was cut, having never worn the jersey, having never stepped onto the field, having never been on television. And the reality is the medium of the contracts in the NFL go a whole lot like that. You may be familiar with a similar sociological, even academic book that has been published by the same name. But this young man told me, he said, the NFL to me stands for not for long. It was 3 months. He said it was joy. It was a treat. It was a privilege. It was a challenge, but it was 3 months. And I think God knows that so much of what we experience in life is not for long. The Israelites say, Joshua says, choose this day who you will serve. And the Israelites begin to recount the story. We were once in bondage in Egypt, and we were saved. And we will follow, we will serve the Lord, the one who has saved us. It is the Ancient of Days. It is the God who is eternal, who saved the people, who brought them to the land of promise, who flourished their families and their crops. God's grace is long and slow, and so much of what we experience in this life is not for long. Follow the one who has saved you. Amen.
Today's final Hebrew scripture comes from Joshua 24:19-25. But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. This is one of our sacred stories. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Mason. I'm sorry you drew the short straw and you had to be up here all morning. Four more sermons. Four more sermons. And Joshua says to the people, "Choose this day whom you will serve." They're standing on the mountains outside of Shechem, and the people respond and say, "Okay, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord." And the very next sentence, Joshua says, "Are you sure? Are you sure you want to renew this relationship? Are you sure? Because this is all that it entails. Are you sure?" And I looking out as Mason read the scriptures, I'm looking out at all the sales reps in the room with their head in their hand thinking, "Come on, Joshua, you made the sale. Like, get them to sign the deal and get out of there. Like, what are you doing? Are you sure?" I am sure. Am I sure? With this back and forth, we have a sneak peek into the collective consciousness of the community. It's incredible, it's beautiful, and it's honest. Beautiful in as much that there are days, there are months, there are seasons of my life where I am one with the little engine that could. I am on the side of the mountain. My wheels are spinning with strength that is beyond me. And the self-talk, the consciousness that continues to refrain in my mind is, "I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I can. I can. I can." And it's beautiful and it's incredible and it's beyond. And there are also days and months and seasons that turn into years in which I've come off the tracks. And I'm on the side of the mountain, and the refrain in my mind is, "Can I think? Can I think? Can I think? Can I? Can I? Can I?" Are you sure? Joshua says to the people. And in verse 25 is this incredible note. It says that Joshua made a covenant with the people. Covenant, probably not the most sexy word in our vernacular, probably not very common at all. Covenant is this incredible relationship that is forged through commitment. Marriage is a covenant, right? Baptism is a covenant. Communion is a covenant. These are agreements and relationships that proclaim the faithfulness of God. That's what covenants do. They're relationships and agreements that proclaim the faithfulness of God. And up until this point in Joshua, here are some of the covenants we've encountered. Genesis 1, the scripture says, God created and it was good. And this is covenantal in that it's displaying that creation is good, right? Genesis 6, we're given the rainbow, which is an incredible step at this point in religious and human history, suggesting that this God, the God who sends this rainbow, is not a God interested in being appeased, but this is a God of peace. And God makes a covenant. Further, in Exodus 19 and in Deuteronomy 5, the people, having been delivered by God out of Egypt in the wilderness, received the law through Moses, the Ten Commandments. And this is covenantal. This is a covenant saying that God is the Savior. God is the deliverer. And yet, To have faith is to necessarily live in a certain way. We don't follow the law to accomplish faith, but faith in as much has a way to live. Covenantal nomism. These are the covenants that we have received thus far, all except for one. In Genesis 12, in Shechem, God takes Abraham and says, I will bless you. Out of you will come a great nation, more numerous than the stars, and your blessing will be to bless the world. And it is this moment here at Shechem, Joshua and the people gathered. It is the covenant that is being remembered here. It's not Mosaic. It is not Noetic. It is not based in creation. It is based on the promises that were made to Abraham in this very same place 500 years earlier. And so the text says, and Joshua made a covenant with the people. And I can't help but to wonder, where is God? In all of the covenants that we receive, God is the one who guarantees the covenant. It is not our behavior. It is not our strength. It is not our faith that guarantees the covenant. The story of our scriptures is the story of our spiritual ancestors who break and forget and leave the covenants. And the story of our scriptures is time and again, by God's grace, we're brought back to that place of renewal of relationship. The text says Joshua made a covenant with the people. Where is God? It is possible that Joshua here is in the priestly role representing the presence of the divine, but I find that the interpretation is more better understood as it is coupled to the location. Coupled to the location. Joshua made a covenant with the people, and the original readers and the original audience there would not wonder where is God. They would know that God has been in this place all along for 500 years. Are you sure? The people ask. Am I sure? The people wonder. And this is where I think the zhuzh of the covenants live. The umph of the covenants is the fact that we forget them. The incredible aspect of this relationship is that we break all the rules all the time. And God, time and again, as we're wondering, are we sure? God, time and again, with open arms, says, yes, I am sure. I am sure about you. I am sure about these people. I am sure about this world. It is our lack of certainty that highlights the incredible faithfulness of God. It reminds me a little bit of Jesus, who says, not come to the saddle, not come to Shechem, but Jesus says on the night before he was betrayed, he said, come to the table. Come and sit. Come and listen to that which is big. Come and together, maybe we will see that which is ahead of us. It is at the foot of these two mountains, just outside of Shechem, that Jesus and a Samaritan woman share a conversation outside of Jacob's well. And Jesus tells this Samaritan woman, this one who is thought to be an outsider, he says, there is a day coming in which you will not worship on this mountain or that mountain, but there is a day coming because of my spirit that you will worship in spirit and in truth. She responds saying, when the Messiah comes, all of this will be made clear, will it not? And Jesus says, I am he. Receive now the living water. And that is what is offered to us. If we will sit, if we will sit and listen to the mountains, if we will sit and listen to that which is big, it is by God's grace that we might see that which is ahead of us. It is this hum, it is this potential, it is this opportunity, I think, that excites this moment in history in which we live. This church has an incredible history, and this church has incredible opportunity. I'm reminded of our young people who will one day probably be long from here, and you will always have this Shechem to return to, and you will always have the excitement of the incredible opportunity that is the church in front of you. Yeah, and if we'll sit, And if we'll listen, by God's grace, we will see that the Lord is victorious, that the Lord is eternal, and the Lord is sure about you. Amen.
Father, who is present, who is eternal, who is with us. We have gathered this morning to worship you, to pray, to learn, to listen, to ask where to now, what next. We woke up this morning to a new day and new possibilities, new challenges. We are reminded of your grace, your mercy, your faithfulness, and your presence. It's that presence that will pull us forward into this new day. May we open our hearts to your call to be your presence in a chaotic world, wondering where to now and what next. We ask that you take our lives, our offerings, and use it for your glory and to be your presence in your world. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
what a joy, what a gift and honor, a privilege it is to gather with you in spirit and in truth. Thank you. As you go, be reminded that it is the goodness of God that created all of this. It is the grace of God that has sustained you in all of the covenants here until now. And it is by the face of God fully revealed, it is the love of God fully revealed in the face of Jesus. It is by that that you can be sure that God is sure about you, and it is by that that you are being redeemed. Go in peace.